This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Ukraine's president makes an emotional appeal for Germany to put morals before economic interests. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In a video address last hour to Germany's lower house of parliament, President Volodymyr Zelensky said sanctions against Russia for its invasion of his country are still not enough and have come too late. In the same way, President Zelensky invoked memories of Pearl Harbor and 9/11 before the U.S. Congress yesterday. In his remarks today, he recalled decisive moments in German history, making an allusion to President Ronald Reagan's famous 1987 Berlin Wall speech. President Zelensky said now Russia is building a new wall against freedom in Europe.
Not all of you are noticing, as if you are behind the wall, not the Berlin Wall, but in the middle between freedom and non-freedom. And this wall is getting stronger and stronger with every bomb dropped on our land.
President Zelensky then echoed President Reagan, saying, "Dear Mr. Scholz, tear down this wall." The two leaders are due to meet later today to talk about more capabilities for support to Ukraine. But with fears growing that the war in the country could push Germany into economic recession and stoke soaring inflation, the BBC's Damian McGuinness explains it might be difficult for Germany to meet the Ukrainian president's demands.
His calls for a ban on Russian energy are more difficult for Germany to support. The German government says that would spark mass unemployment and would harm Germany more than Russia. In polls, though, most Germans agree with Mr. Zelensky, saying they also want a ban. But most also say the cost of energy, which would skyrocket without Russian imports, is already too high. Berlin now plans to stop importing Russian oil and coal this year. But ministers say that Russian gas, which makes up more than half of German gas supplies, will take longer to phase out.
That's the BBC's Damian McGuinness reporting there. Checking the numbers now, after the Fed's first interest rate rise since 2018 yesterday, stock benchmarks across Europe today are little changed. Later today, the Bank of England is expected to follow in the Fed's footsteps with its third consecutive rate increase. That hawkish stance from central banks and expectations for more economic stimulus in China helped send stocks in Asia sharply higher. It's been exactly 3 weeks today since Russia began its invasion of Ukraine. Peace talks between the two sides are continuing, but already nearly 2 million people have fled the war, seeking refuge in other parts of Europe. Poland so far has accepted the largest number of refugees, and Lithuania, a small Baltic nation that sits just to the north, is now seeing an increasing number of people looking for safety and security there. Lithuania's president, Gitanas Nausėda, told me his country's door is still open.
The figure is already, according to my knowledge, about 15,000 now. This number is growing every day. And probably we are ready to provide shelter, to provide necessary conditions to live for more people, but we have to adjust our capabilities.
In what ways are you supporting those coming to Lithuania?
Providing social benefits, food, shelter, and all the conditions that people need, and of course looking into longer perspective also the possibility to find a job. Lithuania is a fast-growing country, so we need additional labor force and additional people in order to make our economic progress even faster.
Is there a time limit for how long those people can stay?
There is a regulation, as far as we know, on European Union level, yes, but as always, there will be possibilities to prolong this stay in case of emergency.
Do you think the EU as a whole is doing enough to help those fleeing war?
Yes, I think we did a lot in the past, in recent weeks, and I see a big shift in the mentality, in the thinking of many countries in Europe. Some stereotypes or some principles disappeared, And now we see that this delivery of military equipment from Germany to Ukraine, it was absolutely impossible to imagine, let's say, 3 weeks ago. But now this is the case. And I think we need the unity. And we have this unity. And probably this was one of the miscalculations of Vladimir Putin, that he will divide us. And there will be weak reaction from European Union. It was not the case. Reaction was fast, reaction was strong, and unity was preserved.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has said that if his country falls to Russian forces, Baltic nations, including Lithuania, is next. Do you agree?
Unfortunately, this is true. Since Putin declared that the largest tragedy of 20th century was the collapse of Soviet Union, he had in mind the Baltic countries too, because the Baltic countries were a consistent part of Soviet Union too. So this is a threat. We never had the illusions that we will be forgotten. And we did a lot in order to strengthen our security too. We did a lot in order to increase defense spending, in order to invest more into military equipment, and we intend to increase defense spending in the future. I don't know the political party in Lithuania which would be against such idea of increased defense spending, because everybody understands the geopolitical situation, the threats, and we can take the decisions without any long discussions.
Do you feel like NATO could leave you behind? Because, of course, you are within the alliance, and NATO has said that essentially if one Russian foot steps foot in a NATO country, there would be a NATO response. Are you concerned that there wouldn't be, that there's not enough protection?
I really believe in the ability of NATO to work effectively as a collective defense organization. I truly believe in Article 5. We heard many declarations recently from the President Joe Biden, from German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, from other leaders, that Article 5 is iron strong. This is good. But I see also this solidarity in action, additional deployment, additional military capabilities on the ground. And this is probably the best proof for me that NATO as an organization is working, is effective, and will serve as collective defense and deterrence factor. Now I see huge enthusiasm among our people to support Ukraine. Yes, they are concerned about our future, about our security. The main wave of enthusiasm is directed towards Ukraine to collect money, to provide humanitarian aid, to receive refugees in own flats and houses. So I think this is very positive signal how sensible and how empathic are our people to what is happening in Ukraine, because they understand very well Ukraine is in the forefront of the fight for freedom.
We've seen reports over the weekend that chemical weapons are being used by Russian forces against Ukrainian forces. Is there a point at which the human suffering becomes too much, do you think, for NATO not to respond?
I don't know. Probably the critical ceiling or critical line was already reached. We have to do more, because what we did in the past is not sufficient, not enough, in order to stop Putin. And I think we will do more. Additional military support to Ukraine, additional sanctions on Russia, and additional measures to strengthen eastern flank of NATO.
President Noseda, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Well, you can hear our full interview with President Noseda. Keep an eye on marketplace.org for that later today. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.